You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Hey everyone, back again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today my special guest is John Spencer Ellis, and I have to admit, you know, we went ahead and recorded this episode a little while back, and yours truly, I deleted it. So we had a wonderful episode, we covered a lot of ground, we had a lot of fun together, and then I deleted it. So we're back, and better than ever, we're going to really bring it today. John was kind enough to come back. So a little bit about John. Obviously, you probably know who he is, and you probably know a little bit about what John's done. But for those of you who may not know a bunch about it, John is the founder and CEO of Nesta, the certifying body and his kind of personal training arm. And I'll get him to talk more about that in a bit. They've got over 55,000 members throughout the world. He also has the Spencer Institute, which is more like the personal development arm of what he does. I mean, he's a best-selling author. He's a TV star. He's kind of done it all. And really, I mean, in my opinion, John's really the guy who popularized the whole boot camp movement. And we'll talk more about that later as well. So, I mean, we could go on and on about what he's done, what he's accomplished, and what he's meant to this industry. But I think we'll get right to it. So welcome, John.
Wow. Thank you. Now I have to live up to all that stuff.
I have no doubt you'll do fine. So, John, one of the things I wanted to do as we kind of kick things off here is, you know, talk about your beginnings as a business owner, as a fitness entrepreneur. So much of what we talk about with this, the whole concept of the ideal business is where we are now. But when I read off all that stuff, it seems kind of daunting. It seems I could never get there. So can you take a little bit of time here and talk about, you know, kind of the early stages of your career as a fitness professional, as a business owner?
Well, I can assure you I was clueless. There's no doubt. And then what's funny is, you know, after 24 years now, every year I feel like that year preceding, I didn't know either, which is great. And although I've had great success, I feel like I still have so much to learn. So that's a good place to be. But going back to the early years. Seriously, I mean, I'll just kind of ring through some stuff here because it's kind of bizarre. When I started my business, the internet was so early that the first thing I was taught is that you shouldn't use uppercase in a chat room because it meant you were shouting. That was my first lesson on the internet. There was no Yahoo, there was no Google, there was no Bing, there was no social media, there was no video. There weren't even large full resolution JPEG images because they took too long to download. There was no DSL, there was no cable, there was no T1 locally. We used a 14.4 or a 28K dial-up modem, which sounded like it was dying. I mean, seriously, I mean, just to get things in perspective, I started out as a personal trainer, and at that same time, I was training for the Ironman triathlon, and, you know, starting my business at the same time, I was completely broke, skinny, because I was training so much, I didn't have enough food to eat, you know, doing all this stuff, it was just crazy. I'm not necessarily proud of this, but the truth is, when I was first starting out in my early 20s, I was so broke and so determined at the same time, I would go to the Sizzler and engorge myself because they had a coupon for all-you-can-eat buffet for like $5 at the time. And then I would bring my backpack and put some muffins in it from the, you know, soup and salad bar so I had something to eat the next day because I didn't have any food. But that's what it took. And I would put my car in neutral to coast downhill to save gas. I started with just $2,000. That's all I had is $2,000. And I don't remember the exact amount, but I spent approximately $1,200 of that $2,000 on a Futrex. No, that wasn't a Futrex. It was, no, because that's infrared. It was a bioelectrical impedance body fat analyzer that had a really cool printout. And I would stay in front of the grocery store and offer body fat analysis for all the moms that would come in and go grocery shopping. It was probably very obtrusive and invasive, and yet I got clients and they got me started, and that's what allowed me to finally get off the floor I've been sleeping in and buy a bed. So I didn't even have a bed for the first 6 months I started. I slept on the floor. So yeah, that was a lot, huh? But the thing is that I cherish that now, looking back on it. Now, would I want to repeat it? In a weird way, yes. That's so creepy and weird. But yes, in a weird way, yes. But in some ways, hell no. But man, I learned a lot. And I realized, you know, I had far more determination and motivation than I did skill set when I started. You just got to keep going, man. You just got to keep going. Let me just throw this one last thing in here and you can take it again. When I was probably 27, 47 now, but when I was 27, after a few years, I got in a really bad place because I thought I had the answers. I didn't want to learn. I didn't want to have a coach. I didn't want to have a mentor. I thought I had it all figured out. And it was stifling and I suffered and I was failing and I was foolish. And then fortunately, thankfully, I got through that phase and was willing to be a student again and went back and got a lot more formal education, informal education, hired coaches, mentors, read more books, and then blossomed from that point and never looked back. Although not every day is glorious, I certainly have far more good days now than bad. There you go.
That's I love the grocery store story. I mean, That's a true story. I've stood out in front of a Walmart and sold pre-sale health club memberships, so I can appreciate some of that.
I've done that too.
So you started out as a trainer. You obviously had some real passion for fitness and health. And, you know, there are a couple of directions I want to go here. But one of them is the fact that, you know, you founded Nesta but way back in like 1992. Where does somebody that's kind of early stage as an entrepreneur get the idea to launch something, you know, a certification? I mean, that's a pretty bold way of thinking.
Well, and I got chastised and ridiculed and scorned for it as well. And I ignored those people and marched forward. Gosh. Yeah, I mean, a buddy of mine started his bike shop the same month or week or, you know, period that I opened my business. And we both got laughed at and chuckled and, you know, and even though we both got chuckled at for doing this, we were both very young. He also thought what I was doing was weird, even though he was an entrepreneur, but it all worked out. And now he has a multi-million dollar group of bike shops throughout Southern California and does exceptionally well. And also is one of the top, at least at one point, ultra marathon cyclist in America. Crazy stuff. He's raced his bike across America before. Insane. But that kind of goes to the work ethic, right? It shows the same determination, same passion, same work ethic, same stick-to-itiveness. That's always a good word. That it takes to see yourself through some tough times. But, you know, there was a time, and this is a true story. It was probably a couple years after I started, 94, something like that. And it was going slow and I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have the help or the resources or all the skill sets necessary at that time to do what I needed to do. And I was struggling financially. And I saw a buddy of mine. Oh, I know what happened. I was going to the bank to close down the account because I didn't want to pay the $10 or $15 a month service fee or monthly fee. What do you call that? Bank fee for having the checking account. I forget what they called it. Because I'm like, man, I'm going to pay that 10 bucks a month or 15. That's crazy. And that was my concern because it was that tight. And I ran into a buddy of mine who's a lifelong serial entrepreneur, someone who's guided me and mentored me in the past. And that was actually where I opened my eyes to mentorship as well. And he says, let's go to lunch. Let's talk about it. I think you have something here. I believe in you. I think you need to tweak a few things, but this is what I would do. And he did his warning, took his advice, did what was necessary. And then it was steady growth. And here's the crazy part. We really took off. All my businesses took off the week of 9/11. Now, who would have thought that? It was the antithesis of what was happening in America at that time. So there had to be something else at play there. And I don't think, you know, I'm not talking about divine intervention, although I'll take it if it comes, right? But I don't think that's what it was. I think that all the things that I had done before that date in time just culminated at that moment, and it was going to happen anyway because I had done so much before that day in 9/11, and then it just took off. And from that point, it's been very steady and fortunately predictable, a good predictable, and I'm grateful.
Awesome. So you were really, you were really ready to take a leap and do some pretty aggressive things there. But then, you know, one of the other things that I touched on in the intro was that you were really at the forefront of the boot camp movement with the launch of, you know, Adventure Boot Camp, which really, I feel like, was the first truly visible boot camp brand nationwide. I mean, I'm sure there are other people doing their thing or whatever it was the one that I feel like really gained the most momentum in the personal training circles, at least the ones I was exposed to. So can you talk about that?
I think you're right. No, there was people who had done it before me, but they hadn't systematized it and licensed it and made it national and global. So yes, that is true. Adventure Boot Camp was the first one to do that. Although there are many, many Adventure Boot Camps still doing very, very well. I actually just talked to one of the ladies who has one 2 days ago. And she's rocking it. You know, at the peak, there was well over 200 locations, but there are still many, 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 and the trainers are doing exceptionally well. But what made it really take off, and this is another weird, anecdotal, strange, crazy thing, I was training in real life, not just on TV, all the housewives for the Real Housewives of Orange County. And so they really were in my camp. They really are my friends. I've spent Christmas with them. You know, it's like it wasn't just phony, made-up stuff, although a lot of reality show stuff is. They really are my friends and my clients. I saw two of them in the last month. They said, hey, the producers want to film us working out for boot camp. And so we arranged it. I knew what was going to happen because of it. I remember we knew approximately when it was going to air. And I got an email confirmation the night before by Gina Kehoe and Vicky Gumbelson, who are two of the first cast members on the show. And they said, hey, your first episode is going to air tomorrow. And we went nuts. And we did, at that point, it was very early in the social media campaign. I think MySpace still had a breath. And there was a lot of stuff happening. It's so funny. I think it was Facebook too. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. And we just did everything we could. We did press releases and I did all kinds of stuff to leverage the heck out of that. And the business doubled literally in a month. It was crazy. And so, you know, obviously I'm super grateful for that. And so that grew my personal boot camps and that grew the licensing and globalization of Adventure Boot Camp. Although it had done very well before that, it just really gave us an enormous platform. And I went on to do that show. I did 2 seasons on that show. So don't hold that against me.
So just those two things alone, I think, are, you know, what I would consider real high impact, big thinking type things that just, you know, most of us never get to. But kind of playing off of that, I look at what you do and I think, you know, through my conversations with you, you know, I know that you are passionate about fitness. You're passionate about martial arts, you're passionate about personal development, and you're passionate about entrepreneurship. And you have built, you know, not just Nesta, but the Spencer Institute really around those four things. And it's just fascinating to me how you've done that. So, I mean, do you want to talk a little bit more about kind of how you went from Nesta certification guy, personal trainer running boot camps to having this kind of big umbrella?
Yeah, there's a couple of different reasons for it. One is more technical, legal, and the other one is more structural. So, you know, when I was growing up, my dad was a bodybuilder, a boxer in the army, and an entrepreneur. So go figure, I do what I do. You know, it's kind of like I had a choice, right? So we used to watch the Olympics and he would explain, you know, the physical part, the lifting part. You know, we watched the Olympic lifting, Olympic lifts, yes. And the different sports competitions, and we'd watch the training, and they go behind the scenes and see all the stuff. And he would explain more of the psychology, personal development, mental preparation, mental toughness stuff to me as a kid. And then, you know, of course, a kid growing up in the 80s as a teenager, I saw, you know, Tony Robbins infomercials on TV all the time. And I thought, this man with the large head has some very interesting things to say. So I found it all very fascinating. And so I studied a lot, and I still do, you know, every day to some degrees, personal development, success strategy, stuff like that. So I needed a different school because it is different, even though it's intertwined. See, here's the difference. When we train someone, we're telling them what to do because science says so. You know, 4 sets, 12 reps, we're going to do an ascending weight, descending in reps, and we're going to do, you know, a 2-to-1 work rest cycle, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, this is what we're going to do today for these 4 or 5 exercises. And you do it because science says so, and the cycle they're on says so, and because of where they're at with their competition, it says so. So you just do it, right? That's training. Coaching is the psychological, emotional, spiritual, strategic part of getting the person to understand themselves and to bring out their excellence and to support them in every way possible. I mean, that's really narrowed down, but that's what it is. Although they work synergistically, they are also independent and interdependent. So I decided to separate the two companies, Nesta being for fitness primarily, and Spencer Institute for more of the personal development coaching aspect of it. The other reason we had to do some things differently is because Nesta has the NCCA accreditation for the personal fitness trainer certification, and they don't like to have other courses that aren't under their guise for NCCA accreditation, like the personal fitness trainer, to have that same certification seal. So we moved things over to the Spencer Institute, a different company, and they do things differently there. So some of it was out of necessity because of accreditation. Some of it was just from a structural perspective. So that's why.
Okay. So, I mean, we've kind of talked about the origin, if you will, of a lot of this. Talk about kind of what your, I guess, empire is about the best way to put it, embodies or encompasses today. And then I want to kind of shift gears and talk about some takeaways that we can share to help, you know, the people listening in to, you know, kind of build their own ideal business the way that you've built yours.
You know, there are other good certifying agencies in the fitness and coaching industry. So sometimes people use superlatives in a way that says, oh, this is the best. It's the only ones suck. That's just not true. It's just not true. You know, there's a lot of other organizations who are very good, and a lot of them have improved their programs, products, and services. And I respect that. And there's something for everyone. Everyone has a little different flavor to it. What I say is Nesta is different on purpose, because some of the other ones, although they're a good organization and it's good, solid education, people are left a little uninspired at times because they're not told or given or shared with them the things that truly matter for success. You know, so they might work at a gym and they might make a decent career, but are they learning the best possible language skills? Are they learning the best sales skills? Do they have the best personal development skills, interpersonal skills, effective communication? Are they a good listener? Do they know how to write sales copy? Do they understand fundamentals of SEO? Can they blog? Can they make a video? Do they freak out when they're on camera? Do they know how to dress properly? Do they know how to ask for the sale? And then also, do they know what's necessary to escalate their career over time? Because a lot of people get stuck in that mode. And unfortunately, a lot of people leave the fitness industry because they feel that there is no room for advancement, which is not true at all, not even close. But they're told that by good intention and misdirected people who also don't know. And so they feel stuck and stifled and they quit. And it's unfortunate. And we want to do things differently. And so we do. You know, we offer business solutions, marketing, coaching, mentoring, masterminds, you know, podcast, personal trainer magazine, you know, all the different things that we have to help them. And the same is true for the coaching people as well. And the same is true for people in the martial arts industry. Each one, there's a lot of crossover, actually. People, if they look at it, there really, really is a lot of crossover. And some things are very unique and specific as well. You know, what gets me excited now is I love real estate. I like real estate investing. I am interested in global economics. I'm interested in conscious capitalism, meaning that you make as much money as possible while helping as many people as possible do some really cool stuff without affecting your bottom line. So you benefit monetarily. The people who use your program, products, and services have great programs, products, and services at a reasonable price. And then you're able to contribute to a greater good in the world without compromising your business. And you can do some really cool stuff and help people all over. So That's conscious capitalism. And that's the way to go. At least it is from my perspective. So I've been focused on that and growing that and doing a lot more philanthropic stuff. I help a lot of charities. I'm looking forward to getting wiser with age.
So with that, I mean, I feel like you're about as well equipped as anybody could be to, you know, to know where fitness professionals who might be listening to this are. And so with that in mind, what I want to do is take a few minutes and talk about maybe, you know, three or four tips or suggestions that you think would be really valuable for them as they try to go from kind of early stage business owner, or maybe not even a business owner yet, towards building the business that they want.
Okay. Boy, this could be a whole dissertation unto itself. Well, a few things. Number one is please, please, please don't focus on the minutia. What I mean is trivial things. That minutia can also mean, you know, finite details, and that's also what can make a difference in things. But if you're focusing on things that truly don't matter, like think about something you're really upset about maybe last week, and you have to go back and think about it now. And now that you look back, you're thinking, man, that really was not a big deal. And I shouldn't have wasted a second of my time on that. And believe me, I still do it too, okay? And I did not long ago. And I'm thinking, why did I spend my time on that? That was foolish. I need to focus on things that really matter. So it doesn't necessarily go away. You just have to check yourself before you wreck yourself, you know? So don't focus on foolish things. And as soon as you realize you're focusing and doing and spending time and money and effort and, you know, emotion on foolish things, stop doing it. Just stop. The people I know who are really, really good at not getting involved in all that, they do better. They're happier. They have more free time. They have less headaches. They get in less legal battles, you know, so that's the big one. That's maybe more than one thing, because that's a little bit. Focus on the big stuff. Focus on the important stuff. And the second is think about anything you want to do and realize that you can do it bigger. Far too many people, and I catch myself doing this all the time, so I'm not excluding myself. We, as humans, most often don't think big enough. And it really doesn't take extra effort or energy or calories to think and do things bigger. It just doesn't. It's just a different perspective. And oftentimes, done correctly, it can be more cost-effective, more energy efficient, with a greater benefit, and to serve more people. So focus on going bigger, no matter what it is. If you do one thing, you say, how can this be bigger? If I help 10 people, how can I help 20? If I can do this in an hour, how can I do this in a half hour with the same result so I can have that extra half hour to be more efficient, to grow it even more, or to give back or whatever, okay? So, you know, time efficiency is a portion of that. Gosh. And then lastly, do your best to stay away from negative people who are fun suckers and energy vampires and battery drainers. There's some crazy, kooky, nutty people out there, you guys. I've seen them. Unfortunately, today I had to deal with someone like that, and it's not fun. So do your very best to stay away from people like that, and you can see it coming. And also, here's the thing. If you get a lot of people that keep telling you the same thing about somebody, and you say this to yourself, but he or she hasn't done it to me, all right? Well, it's because you haven't been exposed to them long enough. Because just think about it from this perspective. If many people from different cultures, different ethnicities, both genders, different perspectives, age groups, sexual orientation, whoever it is, and they all have the same general thought about someone, guess what? That's the way that person is, you know? Because you're crossing all the barriers that would create bias, or at least many of them. But if everyone keeps saying the same thing about someone and you're still trying to give them a shot, you're wasting your time. It's poison. It's toxic. They're like cancer. Stay away. Whew. How's that?
It's a lot, and I love it. So,
but it's so true, though. Darn it.
So really, I mean, you know, we've kind of run the gamut here. We've covered your backstory, which I think is just fascinating, that you've always thought big. And I know that I fell into that trap any number of times where maybe I wasn't thinking big enough. And then over time kind of shifted into it. You know, how you followed your passion, your interests, and really worked hard. And then we've got some great takeaways. So before we wrap this party up for today. Any other words of wisdom, any other thoughts, anything else that we need to touch on?
You know, I mean, we could go on and on. The big thing is focus on what matters, let go of what doesn't. That's it. And believe in yourself.
Hey, we're going to leave it at that. I love it. John, I mean, first of all, thank you for being patient enough with me to hop on here again after my technological snafu. Thanks again for offering some wisdom and some insight. Now, if the people listening to this want to learn more, where is the best place for them to find you?
On my website, which is my name, is johnspencerellis.com. That's it, johnspencerellis.com. I got a bunch of cool free stuff, free books, free training, a lot of educational videos. And then from there, you can go to my YouTube channel, which has a lot of subscribers and hours and hours and hours of training videos. A lot of cool stuff.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you. And we'll have that in the show notes, and we will make sure to share that and anything else that you decide you want to pass along for all the listeners. So thank you. Thanks for listening in to this episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.